You are listening to a talk by Andrej Pekovich, recorded on Sunday, May 29, 2022, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship while at Camp Luther in Mission, BC. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
For those of you who were unable to attend our retreat, our visioning exercise yesterday broke us into small self-selected groups. We created a number of posters which are on the wall behind us. And of course, you can't really see them up close, but I've asked Kevin to show them. We spoke of visions of coffee houses. We spoke of daycares and community building. We spoke of plans drawn up in detail. We spoke of interiors being furnished in comfort. Concepts like ownership were discussed. Symbols represented what we valued. And a public square of pavers summarized our values in a poem. And then the old fart sat around and deliberated how the church should be in service of a project or a goal, but we never really got anything, got around to putting anything down on paper. That's what old farts do. But if I can bring St. Francis of Assisi into our conversation here, I will point out that Francis did say once, "The deed you do may be the only sermon that some person will hear today." So it's enough to do. Now, all this isn't necessarily meant to inform our little group about where we should worship next, but rest assured, the committee responsible for finding a new home to worship in is taking all this into consideration. There's been a strong emphasis on finding a new home which matches six important values: central location, worship at 10 a.m., bright, high-ceilinged and airy, accessible to both handicapped and transit, wired, and homey, a word that I use to denote the place where we can keep our stuff and hang art on the walls. All of this is in service of a way of being with one another that is supportive and caring, as we read in Colossians. Now I want to point out another aspect of fellowship. This week in our mailbox arrived the Mennonite World Conference magazine Courier. Those of you who've been there and signed up for it know that it comes about three or four times a year. And I usually flip through these in about 3 or 4 minutes. And not this time. Right from the start, something caught me. Carla Braun is the editor of this magazine, and in the lead in this issue, she wrote, "Assembly." She's speaking about the upcoming assembly in Indonesia. Mennonite World Conference Assembly is a life-changing experience. It's a time when Anabaptist Mennonites from around the world encounter each other in our differing worship styles, especially the more Pentecostally influenced styles that often characterize the Global South. The Holy Spirit is part of what makes that connection between diverse peoples happen in such a powerful way in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit has played a stronger role in moments of the Anabaptist movement, but has been relegated to the background of our thinking and speaking as churches in others. In the last decades, Pentecostal movements have brought individual and corporate spirituality that emphasize openness to the Holy Spirit. These movements have both invigorated and threatened our churches. And this issue looks at some of the challenges and opportunities that Anabaptist Mennonites encounter as we relate with Christians from Pentecostal movements and those within our own family whom we might better call Mennocostals. This wasn't the only article, this is just the lead. The next article is on Pentecostals and Anabaptists in Africa by a homegrown Zimbabwean academic, Mfikezi Ndlovu. The one after that is the Pentecostal Anabaptist Mission in India by the Bishop of the Mennonite Church in India Conference, Shad Kumar Kunjan. Don't even remember him, and I was there. Then we go to the renewal of Anabaptism in Europe, where Anabaptism all started. Telly Swope of Soli Deo Church in Germany. And then in the rest of the Global South, Brazil's exuberant worship with Arthur Duck in Curitiba, Brazil, is spoken of. All of these point out that each of Pentecostalism and Anabaptism has something to learn from each other, and we cannot afford to ignore each other. And I will tell you, I've been guilty of ignoring Pentecostalism. It makes me uncomfortable. The final article by Nikki White with MB Missions, which is now known as Multiply. She's an attender at North Langley MB Church, and she has the most interesting conclusion for us all. She writes of a mission and vision that honors our theology and values in the following way. Imagine dynamic contemporary worship with carefully chosen lyrics that express ancient truths. Subjective spiritual insights discerned through a community hermeneutic. Diverse stances on theological non-essentials meeting with neither hostility nor avoidance. Radical social justice initiatives championed by radical peacemakers. The word preached boldly, but with humble acknowledgement of scriptural ambiguities. Prayer that is audacious, yet eschews transactional agendas. Boy, that's a complicated one. Prayer that is audacious, yet eschews transactional agendas. Spiritual gifts caught and taught through intentional training, and space for personal encounters with God through prayer ministry. And I think of the conference we are just leaving, and I go, gosh, are we actually leaving all that behind? We don't have to. We don't have to. Among the other writers in this article include Neil Blau, whom some of you may remember from Evan's travels, Evan and Janice's travels in France. Neil observes how worship in a Pentecostal style connects with those from the majority world more than the rational forms of Swiss or Russian streams of Anabaptism. Oh, here it says what he is, the professor emeritus of church history at Faculté Libre de Théologie Évangélique in France. He worships with an urban congregation located in Europe, but which is influenced by members from the rest of the world. And he asks, how much of it, our worship, is theological and how much of it is cultural? Pentecostal and charismatic worship is more bodily, corporal, expressive, lively, joyful, and corresponds to what I know of people from the Global South. Anabaptist churches in Latin America and Africa have many influences from Pentecostalism. But among the negative effects of that are that the liturgy they use often uses biblical texts out of context, which can be seen in some songs that place a lot of emphasis on spiritual warfare or prosperity gospel. Yet, Arnold Snyder wrote a long time ago in the Anabaptist History and Theology, Pentecostalism is in our century the closest parallel to what Anabaptism was in the 16th century. Anabaptism has been shaped and reshaped by waves of renewal. There were the passionate and risk-taking rebaptizers of the 16th century, the Pietist revivals among Mennonites in what is now Ukraine in the 1800s, the influence of the East Africa revival of the 1930s, and the flourishing of the Mesoretic Christos Church in Ethiopia in the 1980s. All of these are Pentecostal movements informed by Anabaptism. I have no conclusion here. I have simply been given a lot of food for thought. I have to re-examine what I think of Pentecostalism and Anabaptism together in light of what I read here. And it may be that you may be called to do the same.